Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. Today, we're going to begin this class by looking at one of the most dramatic scenes in the Bible. And that is of Paul standing before King Agrippa. And when he asked King Agrippa, "Do you believe the prophets?" You see, Paul had been appealing to the prophets and what they had said about the Messiah that would come to show that Jesus was the Christ. To believe the prophets, in this context, was to believe Jesus was the Christ. And Paul looked at King Agrippa and said, "Believest thou the prophets?" And then Paul, perhaps by that spiritual understanding that was given him by the Holy Spirit, he said, "I know that thou believest." And Agrippa responded to Paul saying, "Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian." There's a couple of points I want to make here. One, to become a Christian, you must be persuaded. No one can force another to become a Christian. It's got to be your own voluntary will. You have to be persuaded, and being persuaded, then you believe and you repent and turn from every other way to follow Christ. It's your decision, and you must choose what you must do. But I also want to point out a very interesting thing about this account, because Agrippa believed. Paul said, "Believest thou the prophets?" It was from the prophets Paul was showing that Jesus was the Christ. That's equivalent to saying, "Do you believe Jesus is the Christ?" And he said to King Agrippa, "I know that thou believest." And Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me." You see, being persuaded is not persuading him to believe. It would be persuading him to obey. Here is an example in the Bible of a man that was not saved by faith only. "Believest thou the prophets?" "I know that you believe." And Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." So Agrippa believed, but he wasn't a Christian. Faith only was not sufficient for King Agrippa. And faith only is not going to save you. You must be persuaded to obey. Well, we're going to look what Elam had to say about this in Elam's notes in just a moment. I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me read to you from Elam's notes that he made for the Sunday school lesson, the Sunday schools of November the 29th, 1925. E.A. Elam says Paul made his direct appeal to the king. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" And Agrippa, before he could answer, seeing the conviction in his face, Paul says, "I know that thou believest." Unlike Festus, Agrippa had clear insight into these things and had been carried along in sympathy with Paul from the beginning of his speech to this climax. Paul saw this and made the declaration, "I know that thou believest." And that being true, Agrippa, like Paul, must accept Jesus as the Christ. That is, become a Christian. Agrippa realized all of this. He felt the mighty conclusion and said, "But with little persuasion thou wouldst vain make me a Christian." Paul's reply shows that he understood the king to be sincere and his meaning to be as expressed in the King James Version, "Almost thou persuadest me a Christian." Paul's reply was never excelled for propriety of diction and magnanimity of statement. I would to God, whether with little or much, not only thou, but all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except these bonds. Doubtless he held up his arms from which hung the chains. He seemed to have forgotten his imprisonment and chains until his magnanimous thoughts of others reminded him of them. He was in chains, but he desired all his enemies to become Christians without having to suffer, as he was then suffering for Christ. This is the Spirit of Christ. Now we read in Acts chapter 26, 30 through 32. And the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they had withdrawn, they spake one to another, saying, This man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. And Agrippa said unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty, if he had not appealed unto Caesar. The speech ended. Paul's audience retired, consulted together, and agreed that Paul had done nothing worthy of death or imprisonment, and might have been set at liberty had he not appealed to Caesar. But had Paul at any time been set at liberty in either Jerusalem or Caesarea during the time of his imprisonment, he likely would have been assassinated by the Jews. God overruled all for Paul's protection and furtherance of the gospel. Which would you prefer to be? Paul, saved in heaven these 2,000 years, or Felix and Drusilla, Festus, King Agrippa, and Bernice, lost forever? That's where this Sunday school lesson ends. We're going to the next lesson. This is Acts chapter 27, and it's about Paul's voyage to Rome. And that account we are going to read in Acts chapter 27 and on into chapter 28 is one of the greatest of stories of the sea that we read about in all of literature. And so we're going to read about Paul's journey to Rome. Acts 27 and verse 1. And when it was determined that we should set sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to a centurion named Julius, of the Augustan band, and embarking in a ship of Adramidium, which was about to sail into the places on the coast of Asia, we put to sea, Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly, and gave him leave to go to his friends and refresh himself. And putting to sea from thence, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed across the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and were come with difficulty over against Sindus, the wind not further suffering us, we sailed under the lee of Crete, over against Salome. And with great difficulty coasting along it, we came to a certain place called Fair Havens, nigh unto where was the city of Lycia. Acts 27 and verse 9. And when much time was spent, and the voyage was now dangerous, because the fast was now already gone by, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the lading and of the ship, but also of our lives. But the centurion gave more heed to the master and owner of the ship than to those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to put to sea from thence, if by any means they could reach Phoenix and winter there, which is a haven of Crete, looking northeast, and southeast. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close inshore. But after no long time there beat down from it a tempestuous wind, which is called Euroquilo. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven. And running under the lee of a small island called Calda, we were able with difficulty to secure the boat. And when they had hoisted it up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should be cast upon the Sartus, they lowered the gear, and so were driven. And as we labored exceedingly, the storm the next day, they began to throw the freight overboard. And the third day they cast out with their own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars shone upon us for many days, and no small tempest laid upon us, all hope that we should be saved was now taken away. And when they had been long without food, then Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and have not set sail from Crete, and have gotten this injury and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God whose I am, and whom I also serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must stand before Caesar. And lo, God grant thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it hath been spoken unto you. But we must be cast upon a certain island. Acts chapter 27 and verse 27. But when the 14th night was come, and we were driven to and fro in the sea of Adria, about midnight, the sailors surmised that they were drawing near to some country. And they sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And after a little space they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. And fearing, lest happily, we should be cast ashore on rocky ground, they let go 4 anchors from the stern and wished for day. And as the sailors were seeking to flee out of the ship and lowered the boat into the sea under color as though they would lay out anchors from the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some food, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I beseech you, take some food, for this is for your safety, for there shall not a hair perish from the head of any of you. And when he had said this, and had taken bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he brake it, and began to eat. There were they all of good cheer, and themselves also took food, and we were in all the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they perceived a certain bay with the beach. And they took counsel whether they could drive the ship upon it. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, and at the same time loosing the bands of the rudders, and hoisting up the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. But lighting upon a place where 2 seas met, they ran the vessel aground, and the foreship stuck and remained unmovable, but the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should get out and escape. We'll have to stop there and continue our next class.